So, what is meant by inpatient services? Inpatient behavioral health services are those that are provided to an individual in a hospital or other designated inpatient facility, such as a receiving center. In these facilities, individuals in need of care are admitted and typically spend at least one night and sometimes longer, depending on the situation and assessment of the doctors or providers at the facility. Inpatient care can be both voluntary or involuntary. Patients at inpatient facilities are often under the care of an interdisciplinary team comprised of doctors, nurses, social workers, mental health clinicians, and other specialties depending on the presenting problems of the individual. Typically, a care plan and treatment goals for the inpatient stay are developed collaboratively with the patient. Typically, a care plan and treatment goals for the inpatient stay are developed collaboratively with the patient. Oftentimes, the main goal is to stabilize the current crisis and develop a plan for continued care. This means that the goal of inpatient services is often to manage what is currently going on, which may not target the underlying cause of the issues. Most of the time, inpatient services are used when symptoms are at high levels of intensity, frequency, and duration. Inpatient treatment can look very different at different programs. Programs may use individual therapy, group therapy, medical interventions, skills practice, art therapy, medication management, and other interventions deemed appropriate by the care team. Later, we will discuss the questions to ask when vetting these inpatient care facilities. But for now, let's look at the factors to consider when trying to determine if inpatient services are appropriate for your members. As we mentioned previously, inpatient services are the highest level of care and should be used when members are experiencing the highest level of need. In other words, inpatient services are typically indicated for members who are experiencing an active health crisis and thus, in some way, pose a threat to their own well-being or that of others. This could include the following situations: suicide-related thoughts, plans, intent, or behaviors. Homicide-related thoughts, plans, intent, or behaviors. Extreme emotional dysregulation or volatility, such as uncontrollable crying or rage. A member feeling unsafe to be left alone. Active psychosis characterized by hallucinations and/or delusions. Or the member having a severe substance use condition, in which they would require a medically monitored detox in order to safely obtain sobriety before treatment. How these concerns could potentially present is as varied and unique as the individuals themselves. However, that doesn't mean it is impossible to identify and subsequently support a member in need of this level of care. Being aware of these signs is an important first step in getting your member the help they need and deserve. Another big step is being prepared. We highly encourage you to be proactive in learning about or helping to establish the protocols that will keep you and your members safe should they require inpatient services. Know where you can take them, who needs to be notified, and what information can be shared. Determine who is responsible for which actions and when those actions should take place. Knowing the processes and protocols in advance will mitigate the possibility of precious time being lost and distress being unnecessarily increased should a crisis occur and ultimately necessitate hospitalization. These judgment calls are never easy, but they are made less difficult by proper planning and conviction that inpatient services can save lives. We want to make clear that suicidal thoughts are common, and there are different levels of intensity and frequency that occur. Someone who has more morbid or passive suicidal ideation may have thoughts related to, if I went to bed and didn't wake up in the morning, that'd be okay. Or, I wish I were dead. These thoughts are different than someone who has active suicidal ideation with a specific plan. Individuals who have this high frequency and intensity with action towards behaviors tend to need professional services, and inpatient settings may be the best in an acute crisis. Those with more morbid or passive ideation may not need inpatient services at the time, although that will be an individual situation decision. Additional training for peer support on suicide-specific interventions and assessment may help alleviate the concern with making this decision. Now that we've discussed the nature of inpatient services and when this level of care is most appropriate, we will look at what you can do to start or grow your behavioral health access program as it relates to inpatient behavioral health care. This may feel like a difficult task, as choices of inpatient facilities are often limited within your community, and, as we've discussed previously, first responders may be understandably reluctant to seek treatment at the same facilities where they already have professional ties established. However, our goal in this module is to provide you a framework to make the task of developing your inpatient program more manageable. Furthermore, we hope to provide you valuable guidance that will empower you to address these barriers successfully. Shared here, the framework for implementing or improving the inpatient services component of your BHAP is broken down into 5 actionable steps. The steps include identifying the services and resources already available to your agency, familiarizing yourself with the services available and how to access them, developing a vetting process for inpatient service providers, developing a referral network that includes specialized programs for first responders, and establishing protocols to protect members experiencing behavioral health concerns. Though the real-time implementation of this process may not be directly linear as the steps are listed here, referencing back to these steps as needed will provide you and your behavioral health team solid reference points that will be helpful when tackling this portion of growing your BHAP. First responders are familiar with the concept of the scene size up. Upon responding to any call, one of the first things you do is determine what resources you have at your disposal to handle whatever the situation may be. The same is true when working to grow your behavioral health access program. It will save you valuable time and effort if you take time on the front end to identify what resources you and your departments are already aware of and have access to. The most obvious of these possible resources from an inpatient services standpoint are likely those facilities in your area where you transport community members in crisis. We will later discuss ways to address the unique challenges associated with using these facilities for your members in need of inpatient services. But for now, knowledge is power, and it is helpful to be familiar with these facilities, as you never know when they may be the best option. Of course, it is helpful to consider other options too. Here it is important to note that with increasing frequency, inpatient behavioral health care agencies are providing specialized programs that offer services unique to particular people or circumstances. This includes first responders. So, be sure to ask the agencies you work with already if they offer these types of programs or are familiar with any that do. It will strengthen your knowledge of what is already out there and available to you. And lastly, don't forget to consider inpatient behavioral health care providers in surrounding communities. We will go into this more in depth later, but being aware of and well-networked with these facilities is one great way to balance the personal versus professional dynamic of accessing inpatient care for first responders.